Save the date. Saturday, October 22nd at 6 p.m. Tom Bates will talk about his work in Ukraine, doing animal rescue and humanitarian aid. I'm looking forward to all the stories, certainly, but Tom has a lot of photographs, and they don't come across on the radio very well. This is Louisa Beal with Radio Tacoma, and I'm here with Tom Bates, and this time I am here with him in person. Tom returned from Ukraine September 12th, is that right?
Correct.
Yeah. So you haven't been back very long. This is just the end of September. But I am so happy to see you and so happy to see you all in one piece.
All in one piece.
Yeah. So, gosh, there's been so much happening. And so what have you been doing before you were able to come home for a while?
Well, wrapping up loose ends in Ukraine, making sure there was some food stocked in certain locations, which is gone now. But my partner Nick Tad has since returned. He's in Ukraine right at the moment. He's in Kharkiv. He's been going into the newly liberated villages and cities that Ukrainian military has just advanced on the Russians on. And when they were in Izium, they had to have a military convoy escort going in, and on their way in, they were taken to the mass graves that the military discovered in Izium. They were empty except for some coffins that were, it was part of a cemetery, a graveyard, and they just mixed it in with it. But anyway, it's getting realer and realer every day over there. They began the offensive the day I left on September 12th. And
that was in the east?
Yes.
Yeah.
They took over, they retook the Kharkiv area. Good news.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it's good to be home. I was anxious to get home and be home with the family, with my wife, Gretchen, who's here with us today. And
hi, Gretchen. Hi, Louisa.
And my dogs and my cat that didn't know I was gone. and projects. The time is going to be used wisely. I'm planning on returning to Ukraine. My flight leaves October 30th, and I'll be there, hopefully, in Lviv on the 31st.
Wow. Yeah, so when you return, do you have a main goal?
Yes, we're trying to, now that I'm working with Canine Rescue International, I am now a team member of that organization. It's not a big team, but we get a lot done. It's based out of the UK. And my partner, Nick Tad, he is the other half of this team. And like I said, he's over there right now in the vehicle doing what I would be doing, picking up the slack there. And so our goal for this coming trip is to set up distribution points that stay stocked in Kharkiv and in Kyiv. We just had the opportunity to have our own warehouse within this compound of other warehouses that's managed by volunteer military, very secure, and they've constructed this metal building strictly for the use of humanitarian aid. It's free to use for us to use, and it's empty at the moment. We want to start filling that up. We have contacts in Europe, all through Europe, that will help us do that. But that's our goal for that. The other goal is to get into these liberated areas right away. When they need the most help, there's the sooner we can get in and the sooner we can get the animals that need to be evacuated out of there, the easier it's going to be for everyone. And the sooner the animals will get treatment.
Yeah. So if I remember right, Nick Tad was working on establishing a clinic?
Yeah, correct. That is a project that is still the main focus of Canine Rescue International. It is a clinic and a staging point for the traces method of following livestock and animals throughout the world, how they travel. They have a program called Traces that commercial animals are part of. They can cross borders easily, whereas our pets can't. And all we have to do is implement the same program they have for the livestock. It's called Traces. We can call it Traces as something else, but it would really just come down to the animal being documented. All the vaccinations, everything that they receive would be there. And when they hit the border, all they have to do is get scanned and they're on their way, or they're detained, one or the other. And that's what the initial project is for Canine Rescue International. However, the war has taken precedence. And so right now we're running what we're calling the Front Line Feeding Program. And our main focus is keeping animals alive and people fed as well.
Yeah, because it seems like you've, in a way, have a two-pronged mission. One is certainly the animal rescue and animal feeding. And you've branched out. I mean, with this warehouse, you said it was for humanitarian aid also.
Right.
So there's a lot of people there that need your help.
Yeah, there is. We have an associate in Kyiv where this warehouse is. They're part of the volunteer military that we have been working with the entire time I was there this last trip. And they provide us, they get in pallet full of water in big liter bottles and six packs. And they also have a group of people that come in and fill grocery bags with supplies, some of the staples, macaroni, pastas, sauces, flour. And anyway, they construct these bags full of all these items, tie the top closed, and they have pallets of them. So when I go in, we have our animal food. Then we top everything off with the water and the humanitarian aid bags. And we go to Kharkiv or we go to Kramatorsk or wherever it is we're going. And we work with the Ukrainians in that area to distribute those items. Sometimes it's not that organized, but that's the goal. Nick just loaded nothing but clothes up in a little village, Chernilyava, Ukraine, which is on the Polish border. We met these people. They have a refugee center. Anyway, it's they're sending everything that they have, all their extras, with us to Kharkiv. And Nick just loaded a whole van of clothing for the winter. And that's what he's going with until he gets to Kyiv and see how much water and humanitarian aid food bags he can squeeze in.
Yeah, I mean, my gosh, you know, the weather here has been so lovely. You know, it's hard to think about Ukraine in the winter. It's got
to
be.
It was easy to think about Ukraine in the winter because September 1st, it went from summer to late autumn. And it just seemed to stay that way the rest of my time there. It was cold, and I've seen dustings of snow in photographs in some of the areas. Anyway, yeah, it was, the weather turned, and it's going to be cold. It's, I don't think it's the temperature that's so bad, it's the wind there.
Yeah.
It's so open, and that wind can get going. I've had some wind experiences this summer just from their summer winds, and it blows hard.
Wow. So, another thing that you had touched on before, and actually it was your friend Victoria who mentioned that the Ukrainian people, they need jobs. And You know, so it's like this hierarchy of needs. So first there's water. You got to get them water. And then you got to get them food. And then you got to get them shelter. Then you got to get them clothes. You know, and so, but then if they're not able to work, they're not able to have any money to spend, which would help other people who are working.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's just this kind of connected infinity.
I know a lot of the things that are in Kharkiv are the things that have been there since the beginning of the war, as far as retail stock goes. They do get food in, but I don't know how much retail stock actually flows in and out of those places. It's a risk, and everybody's managed by insurance companies, probably even over there, and insurance companies probably don't want that risk to be taken.
Because there's a lot of rebuilding that's going to have to happen no matter what.
Yeah, well, they're rebuilding, as I said, in Kyiv and some other areas, the bridges, big interstate bridges that have been bombed, missile attacked in the beginning of the war, are being resurrected and replaced. But in Kharkiv, well, even in Kharkiv, I've seen them doing some work on some buildings, and that's a leap of faith there. But I have seen them do it. The Russians have pulled back so far from Kharkiv. They still get bombed, but it's from Russia, not anything close by. So it's been sporadic lately. It's been unpredictable where it was predictable there for a while when they would do it. But that's how a war is, I suppose. Yes.
So what's the status of some of the wildlife parks or some of the other places where there are animals that are not necessarily pets?
Well, the Kharkiv Zoo has been emptied out, animals distributed around the country and even Poland, I think. The Kyiv Zoo was bombed, but they've since rebuilt there.
Because you were going in and doing rescue for these types.
Yes, when we were in Kharkiv in May, I think it was like May 5th or somewhere around there, we went into Feldman Eco Park, which is a privately owned eco park, but it is as big as any zoo I've ever seen. And everyone who has ever been to Kharkiv has been to Feldman's Eco Park. It's an amazing place. But there was the Russian incursion there, and there was fighting, and animals were killed. And in between the fighting, people were there rescuing animals. The NPR just came out with an article about that just the other day. I think the article is People Dodging Bombs to Save Animals. And I was there at that same period of time when the 15-year-old was killed by a rocket attack. And I can say that the animals have been taken away to safer places. I just transported a Saker falcon from Kharkiv to Lviv that apparently had been released at the beginning of the war. Somebody had it as a pet, they're thinking, and released it and fled, and a gentleman, the right person in Kharkiv, found this bird. He's a raptor specialist, took it home, and it had a wing issue. Anyway, he took care of it medically and has raised it for about 6 months. And I was parked on the side of the road in Kharkiv just waiting for someone to come out of a government building. This guy comes bicycling up and saw my sign that says Animal Rescue in Ukrainian, but he speaks nothing but Russian, and he started talking, and he almost left because he knew I couldn't understand him. And I got him to stop, got the translator out, and because of that, it happened. And we became good friends, of course, now. So since we rescued that falcon, it's a Saker falcon, which is one of the fastest animals in the world, and it's an endangered species. I think it's about the largest raptor they have over there. They don't. But since then, I got a call from someone in Dnipro that had two eagles they needed to transport to a place north of Kyiv. We didn't do that mission, but I guess the word spread.
Oh, so I could go on and on asking you about all sorts of things. But one of the things that I want to talk about is what you're doing while you're here. So do you have anything specific that you've been doing?
Well, there's this list of things
besides
I'm supposed to be doing.
Sleeping and resting.
In the house that Gretchen has made for me. I'm checking those off. But I'm also managing what's going on in Ukraine.
Sure.
I'm on the phone every day.
Yeah.
And messaging or talking, keeping up with Nick. The internet is wonderful.
Yeah.
I'm sending food to Vinnytsia, Ukraine, from Kyiv that Nick picked up in Kharkiv, and having my coffee at home.
I'm happy to have nabbed you for October 22nd. It's a Saturday evening, 6 o'clock, at the Tacoma Friends Meeting House, because you have graciously agreed to talk about your experiences in Ukraine. I want to get more information out about that, but for our listeners right now, save the date, October 22nd. It's a Saturday evening. And I'm just looking forward to all the stories, certainly, but you've got a lot of photographs, things that don't come across on the radio very easily.
Right.
So you'll be sharing those sorts
of
things.
Yes, we will.
Too.
And my partner, Nick Tad, is a wildlife photographer. So we do have some nice photographs that Nick took himself.
Oh, wonderful. Well, I certainly look forward to that.
Me too. I'm looking forward to the opportunity of telling the story.
Yes, yes. And how people can help. Because, you know, there's just so much going on that we, as individuals, can really make a difference.
Mm-hmm. So. Well, that's who makes the difference. There are the people that supported me on this last 4.5 month trip to Ukraine. And that's how it's happening in Ukraine. People aren't getting what they need unless people are donating their goods, their time, their money.
Yeah. It's all needed.
Yes.
Well, thank you so much.
Yeah,
so
thank
good
you
to talk
for having
to
me.
All right.
It's good to see you in person.
I know. It's wonderful.
Yeah. Great. You have a good time.
Okay.
And I'll see you at the other good time.
At the other
October
good time.
22nd.
Okay. Sounds
okay,
good.
Bye.
So join us on Saturday, October 22nd at 6 p.m. This will be held at the Tacoma Friends Meeting House. For more information, email info@radiotacoma.org. Thank you.